During the Lenten season, we are putting on hold for a few moments our series in the Gospel of John, and instead we're going to be focusing on the seven last sayings of Jesus from the cross, the seven last things he had to say before he died. And this morning we begin with, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." It's a pretty powerful thing that Jesus says, isn't it? He is surrounded by all of these people, some of whom actually have put him up on the cross, others of whom have taunted him as he struggled to carry the cross up the hill, others who were at his trial and falsely accused him. There are very few friends, and they follow behind him, weeping and crying. And the only words that Jesus can offer to them are, "There's a day coming when you're going to bless women with no children who would normally be ashamed because of the suffering that's about to come." It's a grim and a difficult scene, and yet in the midst of it, Jesus says to those most responsible for it, "Father, forgive them. They don't understand." I think that when Jesus says that, there are a few things we ought to take away. The first is that when Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing," there is a pretty stark contrast. They are ignorant, but I'm not. They're ignorant, but I'm not. They don't understand the evil they're perpetuating. They don't understand that everything that they accuse me of and laugh about and mock me for is actually true, but I know. They are in the wrong and they think they're right. I'm in the right and they think I'm wrong. I shared with you a couple of months ago an experience that I had had recently driving out of that Mary's Vineyard shopping center. I don't know if you remember it, but it's pertinent here as well. Where I was pulling out and I was in the left lane, you know, to get on the freeway. I know where I'm supposed to be. And there was the person in the right lane who's supposed to turn right, but also goes straight to get on the freeway. You know what I'm talking about? You ever experienced this? And that person honked at me. Like I was the one in the wrong. And do you know what I did in my car? I crafted my defense. I thought of everything I would like to say to this person. "You believe that I'm wrong. If only you knew and understood that I am the one in the right. Did you see the arrows on the ground?" Getting a little bit of a preacher going on. "Did you see the arrows? I followed the arrow. I was on the narrow path. You, my friend, are on the path that leads to destruction." How hard is it to even stay silent when they're wrong and you're right? But Jesus not only didn't say everything that they should have heard, but he offered them something good, didn't he? You all can go to hell, Jesus could have said in the truest sense of the phrase. But instead, "Father, forgive them. They don't understand." When that lady, not to be specific, pulled on in front of me, I don't care if she understood or not, she was wrong. It wasn't right. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus was the only one in control. He was the only one in control. He was the only one who knew the truth. And instead of letting that inflame him and anger him, "Father, forgive them." He chose to suffer. He chose it in order to offer hope to others. That prayer of confession, it was not unrelated to the sermon this morning. Our little love. We love the people who love us. We do good to those who do good to us. And Jesus finds the ones who does him evil and gives them good. Now, I'm not saying ignore the people who do good to you, clearly, but rather Jesus was treated more unjustly than any person in history. He was the most undeserving of the death he died. And he still gave something good. He chose to suffer in order to offer hope to others. Who in your life needs hope? And who are we withholding hope from because we are angry? Jesus willingly goes to the cross, choosing to suffer in order to offer hope to others. Jesus also gives a blessing instead of the expected curse. If you were a revolutionary dying on a cross in the first century, like Jesus was accused of being, remember they hung a sign on his cross that said, "The King of the Jews." That was his crime. That's why the sign was above his cross. He claimed to be the King of the Jews. He is a revolutionary. He wants to overthrow Caesar. And of course, Jesus says it's not like that at all, but no one was willing to engage on that. And any revolutionary who is dying on a cross would have been expected to say, "My God will give me justice. You all are in so much trouble. God is coming to get you. I hate you all." But Jesus offers a blessing. "Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing." And here's one of the other things that stands out to me. "Father, forgive them." Do you remember earlier on in the Gospel of Luke, there's the story of the man who is paralyzed. His friends bring him to Jesus. It's in a pretty memorable story. They find out the house where Jesus is, it's so crowded they can't get in. So they go up to the roof, and they dig a hole in the roof, and they lower their friend down to Jesus, right in front of him. And Jesus, the Bible says in Luke, I think it's Luke chapter 5, the Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, "My son, your sins are forgiven." And everyone said, "Wait a minute, you can't do that, Jesus. Only God gets to forgive sins." And Jesus says, "Well, so you know just who I am, which is easier, to say to this man, my son, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your pallet, and walk?" And if you're following the story, you say, well, it's easy to say your sins are forgiven. You can say whatever you want. That doesn't make it true. So Jesus says, "Rise, take up your pallet, and walk." And the man stands up, and everyone's supposed to conclude, well, I guess Jesus can forgive sins because he can make the lame man walk. But Jesus knows that even though that's the truth about him, the people around him don't buy it. So what does he do? He says, even though he has the right to forgive on his own, he says, "Father, forgive them," because they'll understand that. If he says, "I forgive you," they'll say, "We don't care if you forgive or not. You're hanging on a cross. We win, you lose. We're somebody, you're nobody." So Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." Maybe this is to emphasize the depth of Jesus' own forgiveness. He's not saying, "God forgive you," because I won't. But he's saying, "I am so committed to mercy being given to you that I petition God on your behalf in a way that you will understand." Do we go around maybe as people who don't bother to speak forgiveness in ways that others will understand? Maybe it's because we've got our own Christian lingo, right? You know some of that? I would imagine that most people outside of this room don't really know what the word grace means. Most people outside of the church, I should be more specific, don't really understand what the word grace means. Well, God gives you grace so that I'll move smoothly and nicely, dance well, right? Well, God forgives your sin. What's sin? Well, it's the stuff, God's got this law, and you break his law, and that's sin. Well, I don't believe in God's law. I don't really believe in sin. Sometimes it's as simple as that, right? We've just got different vocabulary, but sometimes we just don't bother, do we? I'm going to put up my box, I'm going to stand on top of it, I'm going to get my sign like, everyone's going to hell who doesn't believe in Jesus, and then I'm going to go home and I'm going to feel good about myself, like I've accomplished something. But how much of a difference is any of that going to make in people's lives? That's kind of the easy thing to do. I mean, it's hard from the sense that people will look at you weird if you do it. But it's easy in the sense that it doesn't really mean we have to engage with anyone on a relational level. When I was a waiter in college, every once in a while, someone would leave me a tract. You know, something that explained, this is the gospel. And on the one hand, I thought, well, you know, maybe this will impact somebody, although pretty much everyone I knew threw him away. And on the other, I got so frustrated. I thought, is this the extent of the love that you have for people, that you'll drop a piece of literature for them? Instead of getting to know them, digging into their lives, speaking in a way they will hear and understand. When I, I have a schedule, just like everybody. I got a calendar. It is of moderate help to me, as those of you who have experienced a missed appointment know. But when I, sometimes the goal in my day is just to get through my schedule, right, to check everything off. And every once in a while, I'll think, I've got all this stuff to do. You know, I need to call somebody. And I'll call that person, and they won't answer, and I'll hang up, and I said, well, I did what I was supposed to do. Was the point just to make a phone call? Like, well, now, I made the phone call. They know that I care enough to call. Or was the point to actually engage with people and love them and care about them? See, I think that's the difference here. That's what Jesus is doing. When no one picks up the phone, he keeps calling. Jesus chose to suffer in order to offer hope to others. Jesus gave a blessing instead of the expected curse. And then finally, and I think most importantly, Jesus told people what his death would mean. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 53, verse 12, it says this, prophesying about the Messiah. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. It's exactly what Jesus is doing. Jesus is living Isaiah 53:12. He's pouring out his life unto death, being numbered with the sinners. Everyone thought, you're a sinner. But in doing so, he was bearing the sin of many. And in the meantime, he was saying, Father, forgive, making intercession. Jesus, we're supposed to copy him in a lot of ways. He is the renewed humanity in God. We too ought to choose, when it's appropriate, to suffer in order to offer hope for others. Or maybe stating it a different way around, we should be so concerned with offering hope to others that we are willing to suffer for them. We should give a blessing instead of the expected curse. But here's something that we can't copy. Jesus was dying for our sin. The weight that he carried was our weight. It was all of the brokenness in our lives, all the wrong things that we'd ever done. It was everything that separates us from God, on his shoulders, naked, on a cross, slowly dying. Saint Augustine in the 4th century said in a sermon, they were raging, but he was praying. They were saying to Pilate, crucify, but he was crying out, Father, forgive. He was hanging from the cruel nails, but he did not lose his gentleness. He was asking for pardon for those from whom he was receiving such hideous treatment. See, Jesus, last words tell us a lot about who he was and what he was doing and who we ought to be. And part of what they tell us is he is the one through whom God's forgiveness flows uniquely. Doesn't come from anywhere else. He chose to suffer in order to offer hope to others. He offered hope even to the point of suffering. He gave a blessing instead of the expected curse, and he made it possible for us to be forgiven.